Two, please.
From the Director, Department of Transportation, submitting a follow-up informational report regarding the Milwaukee County Transit System Management Contract Request for Proposals. Informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Mr. Transy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At the request of the Chairman of the Transportation and Public Works Committee, we've included a memo response that Chairwoman Dmitrievich asked for as questions to the RFP process. Her memo was dated April 9th while we were still basically in the development stages of the RFP, and also at around that time had talked in closed session to this committee about some of the points on her memo. I can go through those points if you like, or just take questions. That's how you'd like to proceed.
I think it's important that we go through the memo here and discuss it in more detail.
The first question is, what is the scope of the RFP? What the department is seeking is proposals from qualified transit management providers for the efficient daily operation of the fixed route and paratransit system. Very similar to what we've done in the past. The one caveat to that in this go-around is that we're looking for a firm to provide recommendations towards sustainable, efficient mass transit and paratransit service. We're looking for are there firms out there that can provide us with ideas for better ridership recovery, better revenue generation, and things like that? Second question was, is the RFP limited to management of mass transit service or other transportation services? It is just for the transit operation. There are no other transportation components that we're looking for in the RFP. Next question, can nonprofits or for-profits bid on this? Is the scope limited to one or the other? Either a nonprofit or a for-profit can bid on. There's no limitation on what type of firm can bid for the service. Next question was, does the RFP preclude the possibility of having county employees manage the transit system, and does the department plan to bid? The department's putting out the RFP, so we're not interested in bidding. We're interested in doing as we have in the past, seeing if there are firms out there who are interested in providing the service as we've contracted for since 1975, so that's the path we're seeking. Next question is there a priority placed on the solicitation of local vendors and jobs? The RFP may involve the federal funding, and with that possibility, federal funding does not allow for a local preference. So there's kind of two sides to answering this question. If you're using federal funding, you can't have a local preference, and I think that's something that's been pretty well communicated in the past. However, I think within this question is another question of, would we look to hire existing workforce? And what we have in the RFP is that we have a preference for vendors in the scoring criteria for the consideration of hiring current staff. So we want to see from the vendors how they respond to that. So that's going to be a part of the scoring criteria itself for the evaluation panel. Next question is it anticipated that the vendor would manage paratransit service? If not, would MCDOT directly manage paratransit? Part of that RFP scope, as we've said, is for paratransit, so it's inclusive of paratransit operation. Next question is, what are the DBE goals on the contract? Traditionally for this contract, there's been a waiver of the goal because it's a management services contract and there's not a DBE component that can be established for this, so a waiver was granted for this go-around as well as it hasn't been in the past. Next question is there an assumption of how many employees would be managed under the RFP? Again, employment is a responsibility of the contract provider as it is today, so it would be a very similar setup as what you see today. MTS hires the workforce for transit. That would be the same setup. And then I believe the final question was, will the RFP point to a specific contract? If so, how will the public be assured more transparent process will occur than the one that was just witnessed? We did include a sample contract with the RFP, so their vendors are aware of the type of contract that they're going to enter into. We feel that that's an important piece so that we don't go through a long, drawn-out process. I think vendors will have an idea of what they're getting themselves into with not only the RFP but with the contract process. So there was another final point in the chairwoman's memo regarding the audit, and it was along the lines of, will the findings of the audit be a component of the RFP and the contract? And we did include those pieces into the RFP and to the contract. The components of the audit recommendations into the contract, the sample contract, and the RFP. So they are included in that and will be part of how we oversee transit going forward.
Any questions from committee? Actually, is an RFP required by whether it be a county ordinance or state or federal requirement?
RFP is we've determined that RFP is required. There's federal funding involved with the transit services, and an RFP is required. A competitive process is required. I think also just by county ordinance, if we're going to go out under a Chapter 56 procurement of professional services, which we believe this is, that requires a competitive process as well.
Don't we have some different nuances, though, on what county ordinance and what you're going, like you said, whether it's the department or procurement that would seek the competitive bidding?
Thank you.
The department puts together the elements of the RFP. We work with procurement. We work with corporation counsel to make sure that we're following the proper steps of procurement and making sure that from a legal standpoint we have all of our bases covered to the degree that we can anticipate them. So we go through that process working with those groups to make sure that we're following the proper procedures and going through the right steps in terms of procurement. So it's done jointly with procurement office in terms of the actual process itself, but in terms of development of the RFP, that's handled on the department side.
Who makes up the evaluation panel?
Evaluation panel is something that we work with procurement on. In this case, we worked with procurement and with corporation counsel on to make sure that we've got a broad-based group of individuals. Part of that process is maintaining confidentiality, if you will, of who those evaluators are so they're not influenced or biased in this process.
Could you just give us a general breakdown of how many are there and what department they're from?
They're from I'd rather respond to that is that they're from a spectrum of different departments throughout the county who have maybe a transit-based impact. We have a couple individuals from outside the county sitting on the panel who have experience or involvement with transportation or transit-related issues.
You're going to have to clarify that. What do you mean from outside the county?
One of the recommendations that we had from procurement was to have individuals, maybe one or two from outside the county, on the panel. It's kind of an independent, from an independent viewpoint. We have a person, I'll just state this, we have a person from Wisconsin Department of Transportation who will be sitting on the panel at this point in time.
That is not a county resident?
I'm not sure of their residency.
Right. On this RFP, how many responses do you expect to get back?
That's hard to say. I don't think we'll know that until the very end of the process. Normally, in RFP process, you probably won't see respondents till the last day. That's generally when they start coming in.
What is your benchmark that you're going to use to say it was a competitive process?
We provide the RFP out to a broad-based group of potential vendors, as we have in the past. We put it out in industry publications like Passenger Transport, the AFTA publication. We put it out locally in the journal. So if somebody does a search or whatever, it'll come up that way. So,
well, I'm just wondering what you consider competitive. If you get two responses and that's it, is that?
Well, competitive, I think what we're looking for is hopefully a competitive process that a firm feels that they can compete within. So when you put the RFP out, you're hopefully putting that RFP together in such a way that you will get interested parties to bid on the RFP itself. So, I mean, to that extent, we've had one vendor bid. We've had one bidder for this entire time. So the competitive, I think our viewpoint of what's competitive is on the front end of the process and trying to make it as open of a process as possible.
Supervisor Mayo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There's two issues I have. The DBE has been waived for the management portion, and that's been waived, I noticed you say, in the past. And what's the time limit on the RFP? Is it a normal practice that we have a longer time? What is the time limit to respond for the RFP?
The RFP was posted on April 29th, and the responses are due in June 17th. Which is about the same time frame as what we've had in the past.
I thought it was more than 60 days that we normally have. That's shorter than what we have in the past with all the other RSPs. So if it's the regular time, I have no problem. But I prefer to make sure that RFP go out to what we've been having in past practice of 60 days or more, because you want to make sure that everybody have opportunity, unless you have somebody in mind for this RFP process.
There's nobody specific.
So I would like to make sure that it goes out to 60 days, so we could make sure it maintained. Because the only thing you got to do is post it back on your website.
I think what we would be more interested in is if vendors come back and say that they need time, then we may allow for that time.
I would make a motion. Make no difference, because the bottom line is if we can get this done for 60 days, it's not going to hurt you. Make sure that we have everybody have opportunity to get it out there to the vendors. Because I don't think that we have ever had, this is very important during this process right now. And we will make sure that everyone have a kick at the cat so they won't be coming. Unless you have somebody in mind, it won't hurt, because you have it for less than 2 months to go. This has sent up a red herring for me, Mr. Chairman. If you look at, we had our QFI before, and then we had a RFP. Well, we put in QFI, then everybody else put QFI in, then somebody put RFP in. And the time length is shortened, for this is a very important process. I know that you are looking to combine things, paratransit. There's a number of things that you're looking for that has not been there. Make sure that people have opportunity. I already know there might be a couple of vendors who may want to come in here and hope they have the right stuff, because some people say they've been in contact through my sources. So I'm just saying 60 days, make sure that people have a fair chance, a fair opportunity at this. That's all I'm going to say.
Any other questions from committee? Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had a question. Did you mention, what was the number of people you mentioned on the panel?
Our panelists, I think, is up to about seven individuals, six or seven individuals.
Okay.
We're still working to finalize that.
Okay. Oh, so all of those individuals aren't selected yet?
We've reached out, and we're just waiting for that response.
Okay. And you mentioned two individuals from outside the county to help the panel be independent. What was the other outside panelist?
Well, we're not sure whether or not that's going to happen, so I'd rather not stay at this point because it may not.
Okay. And third question would be, would you be able to submit to the committee the amount or the number of vendors that were sent the RFP directly?
I don't know if that's I don't on a legal side I'm not doesn't matter. Okay. We can provide that.
Okay. What was the question?
Who was sent the RFP directly?
Oh, okay.
Versus just reading it in the General Sentinel.
Correct.
Any other questions from committee?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Seeing none, this was an informational item. And thank you for that update. Madam Clerk, could you read item number 3?